and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the worlds of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fadzlan Iso. Today, we're joined by two new experts to the Label Sessions roster, as well as Nick Sherrod and Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome to Eleni Kitra. Eleni gets legacy businesses to reposition themselves for relevance across product, people, and purpose, and has helped global brands to reinvent themselves from the inside out. Also, hello and welcome to Dan Cavakia. Dan is the person you call when your brand is too safe, too bland, or just hasn't figured out what cool really means, and sees design as a culture, not just content. Uber is rolling out a new senior mode to make ride hailing easier for older users. It's a smart, accessible update, but also a broader signal that tech brands are waking up to a long overlooked user group as more older adults are adopting digital services. But many still find them frustrating. Could this be the start of that wider shift in designing better digital services for older and underserved users? Or, you know, is it just a trend? Are there other industries that should be thinking about the users in new ways?
Accessibility, of course, 100%. How it's going to happen, I'm not sure, because the localization element is very important. Different regions, different countries, different synthesis of the population that can actually, the younger can help the older to be to familiarize themselves with technology plays a huge role. I don't think that all the generations, the older ones or the less tech savvy, will be able to adjust. And the reason is, do they want to? Do they need to? I mean, we haven't seen that even in financial service or other ways that it's part of their life every day, and they have not. Think of the use of a credit card at an ATM, okay? However, it's important that we design services, and the brands will do that, with the focus, with a goal to increase the accessibility by different age groups or, you know, locations they are, and improve the adoption. But if the adoption is not at the highest level in the oldest generation, this doesn't mean it will not be good. Because the current generations are growing and they will be more easy to create this kind of adoption of the more accessible services. So yes, global strategy, local execution, define your KPIs and deliverables per regions, understanding the culture, and then try to improve the deliverable of that in a way that's not going to be one way serves everyone.
Accessibility, of course, but also what they didn't really describe what the brass tacks of how they were going to make more accessible. So is it just a case of like, we're going to make a font size bigger and call it a day, or is there actually going to be, because there's a fundamental thing of like, the whole process of using apps to some older generations is still alien in its entirety. So is it going to be a dumbed down? Is it going to be a refreshed and changed interface? Or is it just going to be, we're going to make the text bigger, we're going to make it more automated in a sense? Like, I know that in the article that we referred to, there's a previous sort of case of like, you could dial in like you can on Teams or dial in like you can on Google. Is it going to be something akin to that?
The announcement, yeah, isn't very clear on what they're actually going to do, but you would hope it's just thinking through access. And I guess one of the things that's interesting, so I guess we've already spoken about the fact that aging society in Europe means that it kind of makes a lot of sense to kind of focus on older people. Although I guess this is a kind of interesting thing for the Uber product backlog, is that they've literally designed features for Uber pets, so pet owners, before they design features for people with access needs. And I guess it's just like a reflection on like the way cities work, which is, when you travel around the world, if you've got any kind of access need, you realize it's very different in different parts of the world. The only way it seems to have worked in cities is when you absolutely force people to design for access by default. So in terms of if you're in parts of the world where that's been the case, then funnily enough, it's really easy to go around hotels or go to museums or go to things because everyone's had that rule. And I kind of wonder if we need to get somewhere close on the internet. I mean, some companies will start to realize directly that, hey, there's a lot of people who are not in not the way that digital companies have thought of what normal was in the past. There's a lot of people that have a need beyond the, what the kind of like standardized average user is. So there's a commercial opportunity to go after. But I do wonder if there's a kind of need to kind of extend the way we think about accessibility. So we do have accessibility on websites to a base level, but do we need to think about that a bit more fundamentally when we design products? And does that need to be more of a default position if your site is going to be listed or searched for, or is, you know, there's some way we can bring some kind of like regulation to that in practice?
Can I bring something on the table about Uber? So Uber, as other similar apps, they start from ride sharing and then they became super apps. They had everything. So at some point, you had a difficulty to follow up on what they were doing and how they were doing that and how we're managing and how you're keeping your wallet. And when your delivery was not delivered, how you raised a complaint or whatever it is. And now we go back to how we simplify that and we provide accessibility. I'm a little bit lost. What is the strategy, the overarching strategy, and why some actions are being taken? Is it because there is a limit on how to generate more revenue because the competition is becoming more stronger in the basic service, which is the ride sharing? Is it because the name, the brand name is not so likable anymore by the people they were targeting, and so they tried to get a new audience? I'm not clear, because we've been looking into Uber as one of the best practices of a service and a new product and, you know, trailblazer in many ways. And this announcement makes me a little bit confused. I don't know the why, and I don't know even how to provide any kind of feedback or insight if I was supposed to go and say to Uber, hello, I have this idea for you. I'm a little bit lost. As an end user, I'm a little bit lost.
That's very true, Alina. I think it's also really interesting in Europe. So they're really focused on selling things like train tickets and things like that, which they now do. But to your point, as far as I'm aware of, as a user, they add zero value to that. It's just that you can book through the Uber app. And I guess if you really don't like using other apps, then that's like a gain. But there's no sense of, you know, you might have expected in the past that they would have really thought about how your Uber from your house to the train station and then the Uber that you pick up on the other side, how that all integrates. But it doesn't. It's literally just a sequence. So if in terms of if you book, you have these different things that come together. Yeah, so it's quite an interesting thing where this looks more like a company adding features than adding value. It's almost they've run out of a big idea, so it just becomes the thing we were doing before, but for a slightly different group.
Yeah, can I add something? I think there's a bit of I think Uber has been looking at what's happening in Asia though, because like for example, are you guys familiar with Grab, the app called Grab? In Asia, yeah. That's a super app, and that's happening quite a lot in Asia at the moment. Like on Grab, you can get a scooter ride, you can get a car ride, you can get grocery, you can get deliveries from restaurants, you can get pharmacy, you can get experiences like trips, you can get so many things on that, and they've become like a giant, for example. I think they cover Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia. So when I was there, for example, I saw that happening, like getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So maybe Uber has been looking at that as well, like how to kind of take that example and make it work. And I can see this kind of super app kind of myth now at the moment, like being quite a new model for like some other companies, like even like in South America, Rappi is trying to do that as well. So maybe it is a bit of a trend that's happening at the moment, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, it reminded me of that.
Yeah. And that's also the trend that in travel, do a lot around travel. I think every brand in travel is trying to get their head around the kind of AI agent feature, where you're just asking somebody to sort the whole trip out in general. And that is a real kind of disruption to the business model, because you're not kind of choosing an individual service provider for each little bit. You're just saying, like, I want to go from here to there. And if the flight goes wrong and all my time is knocked out, I want that all to be rearranged for me. So it is interesting as to who becomes the kind of the companies or the brands that you're happy giving that ask to. That's a kind of really interesting challenge in that space.